No, I'm just joking. I'm joking. Zeke is? What?
What? Are you in one right now? Okay, don't lie.
How can you be here? But if you are, as I say, I'll shake your hand and it'll turn you into a good mood right away, I promise. Always does. Right? Always does. A hug or a handshake from the right person, always does. Can we stand up together? Because we're going to be doing anyways in a minute. So, good morning. God is good. Anybody have anything awesome happen in your life in the last couple days? Yeah? Come on. Yeah, amen. So don't be afraid to share that with us, okay? That's everybody. Seriously, everybody. I mean, I've heard your testimony, of course. But in general speaking, it's good for us to open our hearts to one another and share the victories, to share everything that God is doing in our lives. It causes us to grow. It opens our hearts to new realms of God's kingdom, and it's important to do that. And each one of us is a gateway, so it's important that we open that door, if you will, for everybody else around us. So it's important. So God is good this morning, and I'm going to pray, and then we'll worship. And like I said, if you have something to share, no matter how small it seems or how big or whatever, share it. We need to hear it, okay? We need to hear it. Father, we open our hearts to you this morning. Lord, we open our hearts to you this morning, recognizing our need for you and just your existence, recognizing your love. Help us just to completely open up and abandon everything else that we know, that we don't have it figured out. All we know is you, and you're all we need this morning. We just open that doorway right now to you, to the greater depth and a greater need of you as our Father, as our lover, the one who loves us and guides us, who watches over us and protects us, the one who gives us great things to talk about, the one who gives us a joy that bubbles up within us. Thank you, Lord. We open our hearts to you. Just open your heart to him this morning and set it all aside, the good, the bad, the ugly, set it aside. Open your heart to him and let him have a place in there. Lord, we just honor you this morning. We gather for you this morning because of how great you are, how wonderful you are, who you are. Lord, we acknowledge you this morning. We thank you for your greatness. You want to take a minute just to thank him? We thank you, Lord, for your wonderful blessings in our lives. For every up and every down, we thank you. For completely covering us with your love, giving us the ability to see that. If there's somebody here this morning that can't see that, just right now, just release that vision over your life from the Holy Spirit to see the goodness of God in your situation right now, in every situation that you have. We just open that door and give permission for that ability to see, to be wide open. We thank you for that, Lord, for loving us, keeping us in your heart, and we are here to worship you this morning. Amen.
Come on, before we start singing, I just feel like we really just need to get into the presence of the Lord today. Come on, I just believe that we need to start the day strong. We need to start today just praising God. We just need to remind ourselves of who he is today. You know, the word says, even in the Lord's Prayer, it says, our Father in heaven, the very beginning of that prayer is reminding us that we have a great God in heaven who's on our side. So today, let's just begin to worship him. Let's begin to praise his name. Jesus, you're so great. Lord God, we thank you for who you are. Father God, we desire more of you. We desire more of you. And there's no place we'd rather be than in the presence of the King of Kings. Yes, Jesus, we honor you today. The giver of life, our great God. It's Jesus. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Great are you. So I hope this is okay. But as we're singing this song, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. You can't give what you don't have. And I think, just as we're singing that song, I just get this image of somebody who's just so dry, so empty, so desolate. But as we sing this song, it's your breath in our lungs. So I pour out my praise. It's like this dryness that has been over this individual is being quenched by a great and mighty river. I just see that this desert this person has been in is now being covered by rain clouds. And the more that these clouds hover, the more that these clouds cover where the sun once was, they get thicker and thicker, which I believe is the presence of the Lord. And then all of a sudden, as we're crying out, "Great are you, Lord," the heavens open and the rain falls. And it's a storm. Let me tell you today, church, I just believe that there are some dry people in this place today. But we just need to pour out our praise on Him. Because I'm telling you today, church, as we begin to pour out our praise, the rain's coming. The rain is coming. Come on, it's your breath. It's your breath.
Great are you, Lord.
Can you, Rick, can you put those words back up? If you would, please.
I told the Lord if I shared this, that He was going to make sure I didn't cry. Well, I think He's already failing me. But you need to hear this. Because this is how good and how great our Lord is. How good and how great our Lord is. Those of you know that know Ken know that he has to be physical all day. He has to work all day. Everything in his body cries out to be laborious. And for 6 days he's been sick. Started with just the nasal, that virus that's going around. 2 days I saw Ken in the chair. He has two chairs, so he moved from one chair to the other. That is so unlike him. So unlike him. And it makes it really hard in our home because it makes Ken very restless when he's sick. So all week I've been medicating him, and he hates that when I'm nurse doctor, but as I could see symptoms change, I would change what he needed. Encouraging the water, encouraging whatever. Several nights we were up at 2:30 in the morning because of his coughing, and we always found it a time to pray. Just pray together differently than we pray together at other times. And last last night I went home, and or yesterday afternoon I went home, and I couldn't believe how tired I was. And Ken was doing better. He was doing much better. But he wasn't okay. He fell asleep at 6 o'clock in his chair. That's a never for Ken. And then at 2:30 this morning, I got up, and Ken was reading his word. And I was too tired. I thought, I am not going to stay up this morning with him. I am not going to that I. So I went back to bed. And at 4:30 when I got up, Ken said, come here, come. I've got to tell you, I was desolate. I was so lost. I was so angry. I was so hopeless. But I knew the Lord, if I would just sit and read his word, if I would just sit and be in his presence, that he would take me from where I am, physically ill, to spiritually well. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because for Ken, that's what he did. And now Ken is, he didn't come because he's coughing. But now Ken is much better because Ken is spiritually well. Ken is strong in the Lord again. Ken is not hopeless. He is not full of doubt. He knows that the Lord is God and Savior. And I know there's people in this room that feel desolate, that feel lost, that feel hopeless, that feel like the Lord does not hear them or move them or touch them or with them. And I am telling you, that's a lie from the enemy. Because our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. And he wants wellness. He wants health. He wants a relationship. A relationship every day. Ongoing relationship with us. So our job is to be the daughter of the King. Our job is to have that relationship with the Lord. Our job is to love him and worship him and be with him and know him and share him. So we are disciples of the living God, like Bobby told us yesterday. We are disciples of the living God. And I am saying, Lord God, thank you. Thank you that you move not just Ken, but you're moving all of us from the physical illness to the spiritual wellness. Thank you, God. Amen, Jesus. Amen, Jesus. Lord, have mercy on us all.
It's who I am, you. good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. I can hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love as you call me, deeper still as you call me.
This song is, it just declares who God is. We spend a lot of time focusing on our problems. We need to spend more time focusing on who our God is. And He is a good, good Father. That is who He is. If you know one thing about Him this morning, I just pray that you know that He's a good, good Father. And like a good Father, He runs out to meet you when you come back to Him. He doesn't stand there. He doesn't hold you in condemnation. He says, son, son, daughter, welcome into my house. He says, welcome into my house. So let's celebrate one more time. You're perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. driving here this morning, I was just thinking about the spirit of adoption. And I was remembered that there are actually some states in the country that adopted children cannot be written out of a will. You can write your own children, biological children, out of a will. But you can't write ones that you choose. And I just think that's so suiting to God's character. He's chosen us in Christ to be his children. He's chosen to be our Father. And that inheritance which he's promised us, he's made the deposit of the Holy Spirit. And he's faithful. He's faithful to see the work through to the end. And because he's a good father, it doesn't matter where we're at. It doesn't matter where we're coming from. He says, welcome home. Starts to tremble at the light that you bring. When you walk into the room, every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you.
Consume God, all we
are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. Oh, we want you. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you.
Corporately saying, come God, consume us corporately, but that's a safe place to be in a community where really, as we're singing it, we can just go, yeah, do your work in this person on my left and this person on my right, but God, yeah, do your work, do this. But whew, if I say, come and consume God all I am, I give you permission. My heart is yours. I want you. That's like, oh man, now I'm in for it. I'm going to have to let him sweep away the cobwebs and get down to the nitty gritty and get the junk out of my trunk. And oh man. Oh man, but that's why we're here. You know, we just did this conference that talked about getting outside of ourselves and going and doing and being and wanting to do God's will for our lives, the call that he has on for us. And the only way we can do that is if we let God reach in, clear away the chaff, burn it away, so that we're left with what? Pure gold. Because we want the brightness of Christ to be evident in our lives, right? We want people to see what we've got. And the only way we can do that is if we're shining bright. God, consume me. God, I give you permission to come into my heart to burn away whatever that junk, whatever that is that holds me back from serving you and loving others the way you love them, and to be able to adopt people into my life so that I can disciple them and choose them and hold them dear to my life, God. Consume God, all I am, all I am. Be brave today, people. Be brave and let him do his work. Let him touch you. Goodbye, junk in the trunk. See you later. Praise you, God. Can we sing that again? Come and consume.
Come and consume God, all I am. Give you permission, my heart is can't live without you, Jesus. And we love you. We can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus.
Closer.
we think of deeper, deeper is a scary place. We're deeper in debt. We're deep in the dark. We're deep in the ocean. We're deep where there's no light. But in Christ, deeper is more light. Deeper in His freedom. Deeper in His love. Deeper in the fact that He cherishes you with every inch and every micro inch of His being. Deeper is freedom. Deeper is just floating and knowing that God is there to hold you no matter what, no matter where you go, and no matter how deep you sink into the gutters of sin, God reaches deeper to capture you and to ravish you. And Glenn told us today that the ravish word means to fill with utter delight. Who doesn't want to be deep in utter delight? Who doesn't want to be deep in utter love and utter passion that has nothing to do with physical, has nothing to do with anybody else but us and God? That's what deeper is. So don't be afraid to dive deeper. Don't be afraid to just sink deeper, because that's what He's inviting us to. That's what deep is. It's not dark and scary, but it's well lit and it's love, and it's there for all of us.
Hello. I'm not much of a talker, but I had something happen to me Friday. And those of you who are mechanics will know this. And those who believe are also gonna you'll find out. Anyway, I had a problem. I'm a operator. SAPAC operator, which I bag the powder where I work at. And this bag was being ornery, so it decided to wrinkle up in these pulleys, okay? There's not much gap. You guys can hear me. There's not much gap when the bags go through, okay? And on the end, it's always rotating with the belts. Okay, I like my hand. Anyway, you have belts that take the bags, okay? And the pulleys are on the end. Well, it was going to be lunchtime, and I was having problems the first half of the night, and I was getting upset because that's the way I am. Anyway, so what happened is the bag got caught, and I was told when I started to work there that you never pull the bags off. Because that takes the belt and it pulls them off with it. Okay? Are you with me? Okay. So what happened, I was being upset, being, you know, knothead. So I took the bag and I started pulling it. And as I was pulling it, it pulled the belt off. At the same time, the machine was running this whole time. Well, the belt was flopping like a warped fish out of the water. It was flopping around and it was rotating. But it wasn't on the pulley. It was off. And it's not supposed to do that. Okay? So I didn't know whether to call a mechanic or just let it sit there and wait till lunchtime and then call it. So that way I can go take a break. I go, well, if I'm gonna make my night miserable, I'm gonna make everybody's night miserable. Well, that's what happened. So we have a wall that I face sometimes and I start to pray. And it's a good sized wall. So I started to pray, and I asked Him, I go, now's the time. If you're going to help me, I need your help. I need your help. I go, I want this fixed. I need your help. I can't do it myself. I'm not going to call the mechanics. Okay? And it was still flopping around. So I turned my back, and I went and did something else, and I turned around, and the belt was gone. It's the truth. The belt was gone. Well, it had worked its way up. but it wasn't in the pulley. Because you have to do that physical. Anybody that's a mechanic or knows mechanics knows that you have to do that, take it apart, put the belt back on the pulley. Well, the belt was up there, but it wasn't inside the pulley. See? So I turned my back again, did something else, came back around again, and I saw it was up again. I looked at it, and I went to go look at it like this. When I went to look, it was on the pulley. It was. And I'll tell you why. This is no, I'm not lying. And it was up inside, and it was working again. Okay? I know. It was working again. So I took the shavings, because every time the belt was going around, anybody knows about this, any time the belt was going around, it was shaving itself off and dropping, you know, shavings on the floor. So I went to grab some, took it in my hand, and I went to go talk to my supervisor. And I told him about it. I go, hold your hand out. He goes, what? I go, just watch. And I dropped them on his hands. I go, that's from the pulley. I mean, from the belt coming off the pulley. He goes, did it get fixed? I go, yeah. I go, I asked the man above to help me out. And he's a redhead. And he has freckles and everything. He's red, right? Well, when I told him that, he turned white. He did. And to this, right now, when I instead of going to eat, I went and called Shauna, and I was crying. You can ask her. I was crying on the phone and telling her what was happening. I don't know. You know, those of you guys who are mechanics should know better that you have to physically fix it. But I asked him for help, and it did it. It did it.
Amen.
I don't know. Believe? Okay.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Noe. You know, and it could be anything that we just say, God, I just need your help with. Maybe not that drastic where a pulley is off of a system that is going to keep him from working the rest of the night and he's going to have somebody come in. But, you know, there's we all have our own pulleys that things fall off of sometimes, belts, and we stop functioning properly. Remember, you can cry out to him anytime. You can say, Father, I don't know how to do this. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. And you know what? That same God that helped that pulley get back on will help you. And you will have a testimony as well. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, one thing I do want to mention, we were going to have a group that went down at 3 o'clock to Emerald Care and meet, but I was going to say the inmates. They're not inmates. The residents. They probably feel like inmates sometimes, right? Yeah, sometimes they can't leave, you know, unless they know the date or something like that. But the residents, there's a few that are sick, so we'll be rescheduling that, and we'll let you know when we can go down there. Also, I think Glenn has something that he wants to do here.
I have a very special announcement this morning, and we wanted to pay a very special homage to one of our church members here, and his name is Jesse. You guys might not see Jesse very much, but he's here before you get here, and he leaves after you get out of here every week. He's missed like 2 times since I've been coming to this church. You want to come down, Jesse?
Come on down.
That way they can put a face to the name. But it's just been put on our hearts to honor Jesse. So we wanted to grace him with a gift card to somewhere that everyone here enjoys. That would be the Starbucks. Because he's a star. He's a fantastic member of our team, and we just wanted to say thank you, and we love you.
Thanks, bud. Yeah, you're very welcome.
speech. Wait around long enough for many years, and your speech might come. So the message is, if you keep coming here, you'll get a Starbucks gift card one day. No. Do we have any children in the house? If you do, you got to jump up and down and run up here. Joshua? Any more kids? Hey, Brett, are you coming? You have an amazing teacher this morning. I think since we're on a clap mission, we need to give the Villalobos family a round of applause, too. Because they faithfully serve our children's ministry. Hey, what's up? Yes. Lena,
huh?
Nothing. I had a brain fart. Public, it was a public brain fart.
Oh, thank you. for everybody that was here this weekend for the women's conference, we were highlighting three different ministries, and one of them is the Widows and Orphans in Zimbabwe. And I have been in contact with Pastor Danny's two sons that live in the United States. But this morning, I got an email from Pastor Danny himself from Zimbabwe, Africa. And so, number one, that's pretty cool, I think. I love that. But I did want to read it, if you guys don't mind taking just a second and listening to what he has to say. He said, Dear Gaylene, my son David, who is in Vancouver, sent me your email and said that you wanted to know more about our Christmas projects. Now, you guys remember, this project is about the can that we made, and we're collecting offerings for them for Africa, right? Okay, so thank you for your interest. December is when our heavy rains come. Sometimes it rains for several days and nights nonstop. The air is cold and damp. Clothes do not dry. Everything is wet or damp, and the children in the tribal areas sleep on the damp, cold dirt floor of the mud hut. We do our best to be sure the children have warm blankets and warm clothes, but sometimes it's not enough. Also, our older widows who have no one alive to care for them get blankets and food. We fix their huts and put new grass on the roof every year ready for rain. Christmas Day, we give every child a loaf of bread, which is special for them. Some of the children only get bread to eat that we give them on Christmas Day. So in other words, no other gifts besides that loaf of bread. Christmas food hampers are given out to our old widows with some items they never get. They are very old. The oldest is Mavo, M-A-V-O, and she's 103. Just sharing the love of God is what Christmas here is all about. Thank you for your help, Danny. So what I want to say is we got a special offering yesterday from one of the ladies that attended the conference, and she gave $500 toward our Zimbabwe project. So at present, we're approximately at $800, which I know is mind-boggling to me. But I just wanted to let you know, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be pushing this ministry, and we're going to be sending a check to Pastor Daniel, who is in Houston, who then will be able to actually deposit it straight into Pastor Danny's account in Zimbabwe. So he will actually have all of the funds that we've raised as a church and as our children's ministry to be able to help the widows and orphans. So I just wanted to share with you so far what your love is doing for our Christmas project this year. And I just want to say a great big thank you, thank you, thank you so much.
Awesome. So guys, you're never too young. Like 1 Timothy says, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, right? So you guys are making a difference in the lives of kids all the way across the world. So let's give our kids a hand real quick. If you guys would reach out your hand toward our children here, we're just going to bless them. Father, we just ask in the name of Jesus that you would bless all of our children, that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit to overflow, and that the power that you've placed inside of them and the grace upon their lives would come out in their schools and in their families, and that they would become the world changers you've called them to be, in Jesus' name. Amen. Is that it?
So as Pastor Gabe was saying, yesterday we had the second day of the Women's Conference, the THEM Conference. It's kind of a different name, but it means taking her the extra mile. And we had a good attendance of women, and it was amazing. And I just want to thank everybody who put their shoulder to the wagon and pushed it so that everybody that came could just receive. So thank you so much, everyone that participated. Alvin, especially, you know, without you, the food wouldn't have happened. And you worked tirelessly for that. We thank you so much. Your team was great. So praise the Lord. At this time, I'm going to have Pastor Stephen come up, and he's got an exciting, dynamic, amazing word for us, right?
Oh, yeah. Is it on? Are you sure? Am I on? Can you hear me? It's really weird. I've never worn one of these on my head, and I don't think I like it very much. It's kind of odd. So, aw. Glenn and I went on a date the other day. It was kind of special. Yesterday. Made our wives jealous. Just kidding. Well, we did go somewhere, but that's totally besides the point. So, how's everybody doing? Good. I really don't like not having a mic in my hands. It's kind of weird. I don't know. What? It's really kind of strange. But anyways, we'll figure it out. So, who came to the women's conference? Raise your hand. Stand up. Yeah, stand up. David, he was there. So, all right, okay, you can sit down now. I just wanted you to stand up so I could see you. Anyways, so we had a good time at the women's conference. I was there, I was standing. It was really weird. The Lord impressed something on my heart on Friday night. And I was, I'm going to bump that thing. I just don't like it. I was like, I can't share. There's a bunch of women. Like, I can't say anything, you know, whatever. So I'm playing the drums, and which was the first time I'd played the drums in, like, what, 3 months, 4 months, something like that. So I was already, like, struggling enough as it was. But so I'm playing, and the Lord just impressed it on my heart. And I'm like, okay, well, whatever. And then yesterday, I shared the word, long story short. It was good, I think. It's from Jesus, so I guess it was good. And then my dad was like, well, I think you have something that you could share. And I was like, oh, whatever. So maybe I shouldn't show all my cards, but I've told the Lord that if he asks me or my dad says, you have something to share, that I'm not going to say no. But don't take advantage of that, because that's not fair. So, anyways, I hope that I do. And I think it actually might turn into a two-part type of deal. But I'm not 100% sure yet. We'll see how today goes, right? So I'm going to turn, and I brought an old school Bible. I have a new Bible. Well, my wife and I got new Bibles a while back, and I wanted to use it. So it was super cool the way that the worship set worked out and how we sang Good, Good Father. And then Brother Noe came up and he shared the word that he shared, because it all kind of intertwines into what I'm going to share today. And I think that I'm going to title this talk, Who Are We? So if you're taking, who's taking notes? Two faithful servants of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just kidding. What? Who are we? So who are we? It's kind of an open-ended question, and if you could raise your hand or just spit it out, who do you think we are? Who? God's child. Darn it, she just beat y'all to the punch. So we are children of God. So one of the old school scriptures that we've probably heard forever is Jeremiah 1:5. And it's going to be up on the screen today, actually, if you want to turn your attention to the screen. Isn't that cool? We're going to start putting scriptures up there so you guys don't even have to look it up in your Bible. Say what? We raked them. Put them in the dumpster. We had a little chat about the autumn leaves in the background, but inside joke. Anyways, and it says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart, and I appointed you as my prophet to the nations. I want to zone in on some key, just leave it up there for a minute, Glenn. I want to zone in on some key points, and it says, I knew you before I formed you. To me, this is long before we were ever a twinkle in our mama's eye, before we were ever thought of, before our folks were one, however that turns out for you, whatever. Before we were, Barb, you can't make faces like that. Anyways, before you were formed in your mother's womb. So this was a long time ago for some of us. I mean, this many, many moons ago, right? And he, some scriptures say, I predestined you, I knew you, I knew who you were, I knew what you were going to do, you are my child. So I was thinking about this scripture. I actually just got that scripture when I was playing the drums, because I was, the scripture that I shared on Sunday was Song of Solomon 6:3, and it says, you are my beloved, I am my beloved's, and you are mine. And that means that scripture is, I am God's, and he is mine. Nothing else matters. There's no other thing. My job doesn't matter. My wife, my kids, whatever. I mean, they matter. Don't take me out of context for that. But I am his, and he is mine. And that is the one thing that we grasp onto and we cling to. And that is what defines who we are as people, is who we are in Christ as his child. And I think a lot of us struggle with who we are as his child because maybe of past experiences, of maybe how you were treated as a kid or how your parents raised you. I was raised in two homes. I call it my Jesus home and my not-so-Jesus home. For those of you that know me, you kind of know a little bit of my story. Everybody pretty much knows me. But my biological dad, he was tough. He was a cop. He was a hard nose. He didn't let me get away with hardly anything. I learned how to get away with everything because my sister got caught doing everything. But nonetheless, my dad was a hard nose, and he didn't show me a lot of love. It was, you're going to do this because I say you're going to do this. You know, everything was based upon condition for me. I hate that I cry. No, I don't. I like that I cry. So my image of who I was to the Lord was based upon condition, on what I did or how I acted or how much I read my Bible or how much I prayed or how much time I spent in the church or whether or not I was cursing yesterday, or everything that I did would affect my relationship with the Lord. Now, I want you to take note that I said it would affect my relationship with the Lord. It wouldn't affect his relationship with me, because we are his kids and he loves us. And if my daughter was in here, Reagan, she is so tiny and so innocent and so pure. She has done nothing for me not to love her. But yet I love the kid. And that's how God thinks of us. He thinks of us as little children. We've done nothing, but yet he loves us so much. And so I've struggled with this over my my tenure in the church, whatever you want to call it. And just recently, and I'm still working on it, because I've struggled with it for a long time. I'm 25 years old, two kids of my own, a wife. I've been married for almost 5.5 years now, which is kind of really weird. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was like, man, I've been out of school for 8 years already. I feel old. I do. For those of you that are actually old, I'm sorry. Anyways, I dove into a pool, just a side note, I dove into a pool last Saturday. I hurt my back diving into a pool. Couldn't sleep. I couldn't lay flat. I couldn't do jack. My wife was probably like, you are the most pathetic dude right now, because I'm like, babe, I need you to rub my back. However, I've never gotten so many back rubs, which is awesome. But I was legitimately hurt. But thank you to my wife. She is the best. As the baby cries. But anyways, so I dove into a pool. I was hurt. I was like, man, I'm getting old. And anyways, that brings me to a point, another little commercial break. I was struggling, and we were here on Friday afternoon, or Friday morning. We were putting some stuff together. And actually, this will all tie in. It's kind of good. We were putting stuff together, running around for the conference. Glenn was up here setting up all the sound. I was building, well, I don't say building, whatever. I put together that little birch thing that y'all saw in the back if you were here. I'm glad none of you touched it because it probably would have fallen over. But anyways, and I was walking around like this all morning just because my back hurt so bad. My dad had made mention of it, so I'm walking like this, and I was walking up, and Glenn saw me. He's like, dude, is your back hurt? I was like, yeah, man, my back's really hurt, like bad. And he was like, just without skipping a beat, he was like, well, let's pray. So he comes over, and he lays his hand right on my back, right where the pain was, right where it was really killer. And he prayed just a simple prayer, Lord, I pray that you will touch his back. And I literally was right here on the step, and I took a step back, and my neck was like straight, and I was like, oh my gosh, that feels awesome. I mean, it still hurt, but my neck was straight. I was walking. I was like, oh, that's awesome. Glenn and I were talking later, and he was like, I've been praying. What'd you say? I've been praying that the Lord will let me lay hands on people. Isn't that awesome? And that brings me to my next scripture verse, which is Matthew 7, verse 9. And it says, I don't know if he's going to put it up there. He didn't put it up there. He's praying for Uncle Jesse because Uncle Jesse's hurt. So let's all just pray for Uncle Jesse. I'm serious. We're just going to agree with Glenn. Amen. We prayed with you guys. So Matthew 7, verse 9. And this is going to tie in with what Glenn was talking about and what Noe was talking about. And the verse is, I'm just going to read it. It says, you parents, if your children ask you for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask you for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to you if you ask? Nowhere in the scripture verse does it say, if you do this, I'll give you a good gift. If you do that, I'll give you a good gift. If you pray six times a day, if you whatever. But as Brother Noe was sitting here, and he was, by his own admission, frustrated, irritated, and said, you know what, God? I need your help. Please fix it. Turns around, comes back. Turns around, comes back, and it's fixed. That's the good type of God that we serve. We serve a good, good Father. And we get in this mindset that we have to attain these certain steps, and we have to do this, and we have to act right, and we have to blah, 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 blah. And we chalk all this stuff up, and the only person we're hurting is we're hurting ourselves. I'm going to share something that's super, super real and close to my heart, and I'm going to cry. So I'm just going to throw that disclaimer out there. But I want to give you guys paint another picture, a personal picture of what a good, good Father does. Jesus, I just ask that you'll just give me the strength. There's no little kids in here, right? Struggled with pornography for a long time. Long, long time. Almost cost me my marriage. Didn't know what to do. I was at my wit's end. Got into a fight with my wife one day. And I'm like, I've just had it. We fought at night. It was probably like, I don't know, 11, 1130. This was few years back, and I grew up so fearful of judgment because of what I did, and so fearful that something like that was going to separate me from the church, from the Lord, from my friends, whatever, because of the image that I had of me doing something wrong or whatever. And I kind of like not having. I called my dad. And I said, Dad, I'm struggling. I need help. This is what I'm doing. And on the other line, I just hear, Dear Jesus. And I'm begging him, please, Dad, don't tell Mom. Don't tell Mom. Because I'm scared of what's going to happen. And I'm scared of what she might think. I'm scared of what people are going to now see me as. Dad, please don't tell Mom. I won't tell Mom, son. I won't tell Mom. I promise I won't tell Mom. He's like, I came over to the church. I'm in my office. Don't worry. And I'm like, Dad, this is what I'm struggling with. And he just sat there and he prayed for me. Because that's what a good father does. And when you cry out and you say, Jesus, I need your help. Father, I'm struggling. Jesus, please fix my situation. He's not going to come at you and say, well, what'd you do yesterday? Well, what'd you do 5 minutes ago? Well, I don't know. You haven't read your Bible enough, Zeke. I'm being real. He's going to say, all right, let me fix your situation. When we bring our situation to God and we say, God, here it is. He's going to say, you know what, child? I love you. I want to help you. And he's going to fix our problem. What Glenn had talked about the worship set, and I believe it's Ephesians 1:5. If you all want to turn there or look at it on the screen, said God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. We are adopted into his family. We are his kids. He loves us. He wants to help us. He wants to provide things for us that we never thought we could have done on our own. He wants to say, you know what, take this next step. And you're so scared, and you take that next step, and he's like, okay, awesome, good job, you did great. And then you take the next step, and you do this, and you do that, and he works through you, and he loves you, and he gives you everything that your heart desires. And it's not based on merit. It's not based on things you do. It's not based on what you say or how you act or anything like that. And I want to drive that point home to you guys, that there is nothing that you can do that is going to separate you from the love of God. Nothing, not one thing. Because he loves you so much, and he's a good, good father. And he wants to give us the desires of our heart. He wants to give us the things that we want, the things that we need. Simple things, like Brother Noe shared, of fixing the belt. Noe could have called a mechanic, right? Shut the line down. It would have got fixed. It would have. But God gave him the desire of his heart. And that is what God wants to do for you. Because he loves you, because you're his daughter, because you're his son, because we're his children. And it doesn't matter, I can't say it enough, it doesn't matter what we've done, how much we've done, or who we've done stuff to. Yesterday is yesterday. 5 minutes ago is 5 minutes ago. The only thing you can do is look at Jesus and say, okay, God, I'm going to press forward. I'm going to do what I can do to love you because you're my daddy, and I want to. The thing is, when we look at it from a point of, God, I'm just going to love you, all those other things are going to wash away, fall apart, whatever. They're not going to be part of us anymore because we're focused on him, and we're focused on loving him and pursuing a relationship with him. And we're not worried about what chalks it up to us earning a good relationship, because you can't, I don't care who you are, you can't earn a good relationship with anybody. And you can't. Jesus loves you because you are his, and that's the only thing that matters. Only thing. It's a little bit different than what I shared on Sunday or Friday. Maybe that's what's for next week, I don't know. Church, we're in a new day. we're in a day that the Lord wants to move and breathe like he has never breathed on us before. He's going to do something in your heart. I was telling Glenn the other day, I said, I just feel something different. The Lord is just doing something new in my heart. And I'm going to tell you, I get frustrated. I have zero patience for anything. And it's just kind of my, I say it's how I've been. But the Lord is changing me. And there's something new that is coming. There's a new, you know, we're changing seasons. The leaves are falling off. And there's going to be new growth, you know, come springtime. The Lord is doing something new in our house. Not just in me, not just in Pastor Mike, not just in Glenn or Josh or whomever, but God is doing something new in all of us. And he's calling us to a new day. He's calling us not to live in the way that we've lived. You know, he's not asking us to keep stepping the same exact path that we've stepped. It's hard. I'm telling you that, you know, I've told a lot of you, but to come out and say what I said, that's difficult. But we serve a good God that is better than that. That is that makes things like that. Who cares? But he's asking something new of every single one of us. Of you. All of us. I don't know what that is. There's some of you that the Lord is. I was praying as I was playing the drums. And if everybody could just close your eyes for a sec out of a little bit of respect. There's somebody here that has been struggling with the way that the Lord views them because of things that they've done. And they think because of what they've done, they're separated from his love. They can't attain the type of relationship that they want. They can't do the things that they think that they're called to do. And I want you, and there might be more than one of you. There was just one person in particular that the Lord showed me. And that is a lie from the enemy. The Lord loves you no matter what. He cares about you. You are his daughter. You are his son. You are his child. Nothing that you can do will ever separate you from his love. And I want you to know that when you walk out of this door today, you leave a changed person, because that's what the Lord wants you to do. He wants you to walk out of here and not think of what happened yesterday, not think of what happened 5 years ago, 6 months ago, 5 minutes ago. Jesus, we just love you, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for your gracious spirit, Father God. I thank you for the grace on my life, Father God, that you've given me. See, grace is just such a good thing, because it's such a free gift and it's there for us to take. But you have to take it. Grace is a two-way street, I think, in my opinion. The Lord gives it, and you appropriate it. And unless you don't appropriate it on your life, that grace isn't going to work the way that it's supposed to work. But it's a free gift. You don't have to do anything to take it. You don't have to do anything to get it. Nothing. That grace is there for you, and it's going to cover every single minute, every single second of your life from the day you were born till the day that you die. That grace is for you. If any of this applies to you with every head bowed and every eye closed, if any of that applied to you, I just want you to raise your hand. Father God, I thank you, Father God, that you are such a good, good Father, Jesus. We love you so much, Jesus. We thank you that you are for us, Father God. You are not against us, Father God. I thank you for your grace and your love, Father God. I just thank you so much for being a good, good daddy, Father God. God, I pray that you will just give us a new a new revelation, Father God, of who you are to each and every one of us, Father God, that we will look at you in a new light, Jesus, that we will know that you love us, Father God, and that you are excited for us. Father God, you want the best for us, Father God, that no matter what we're doing at any moment of any day, Father God, you have our best interests at heart, Father God. Jesus, I just love you so much, Father God, and I thank you for everything that you're doing in our house, Father God. I thank you for the new day, Father God. I thank you for the change in season, Father God. God, I thank you that you have predestined us to be your children, Father God, that you have predestined us, Father God, to your good work, Father God, that you have predestined us, Father God, to speak this into others, Father God, to love on others, Father God, to show them the kind of love that you have, Father God. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. You got anything? So we are going to have, we have a lot of food left over from yesterday. Women don't like to eat as much as men. I went back for like 3 rounds of lunch, but whatever. So we're going to have a lot of food over here. Some of it's already out. I think Alvin has it been Alvin? Or Alvin has been setting some stuff out over there. So there's cookies. There's some really good peanut butter cookies over there. But there's a lot of good food, some donut holes, some good stuff that you can go over there and snack on. There's some bottled water over on the side there. So you guys can just hang out. We can be a family. There's some tables back here. Before everybody leaves, if you choose not to stay and hang out, we got to kind of put the sanctuary back to normal like we normally have it. Well, not like we normally have it because we've been stacking chairs, although I hear you guys didn't stack chairs last week. But anyways, we're going to put the chairs back, move those tables over there, take these tables down, do all that good stuff. Give it up for Alvine. She's been putting all the food out for you. See, you guys don't have to rush off to lunch. Lunch is right there. So, all right. Amen.